The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Aaron. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bill.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way.
Hello, Aaron.
I feel so much better.
Hello, all you people out there in Radio Land.
Oh, yeah. My ears bleed.
Oh, well, sorry.
Turn my headphones down.
Turn yours down.
Yikes. Okay.
So I'm not in charge of the board.
I know you can't touch any buttons from Radio Land. I can touch a few.
I can holler, though.
I feel better already. So let's see. We've been gone. We've been gone playing. We played a redo last week, and we've been all over the place. So
I know you've been absent-minded.
I have been. So yeah. We should catch people up. Let's see. Next week we're talking about the Philadelphia VA whistleblower update, and there's some fun stuff on there. There's some not so fun stuff in that they're getting punished for things that, what the heck, right? They should get punished for the right stuff. But anyway, we're going to talk to Kristen Rule, and she's got a few other folks lined up for us in Philadelphia, and we'll be finding out what's going on at the Philly VA. So you'll enjoy that next week. Week after that, we're talking about fire. We're surrounded by fire here at the moment, so probably good we're not talking about fire today because everybody's busy fighting fire. But we have Ray Halp on with us, supervisor from Siskiyou County, who will, he worked for the Forest Service for 30 years. Now he's a county supervisor, and he has a good handle on how the Forest Service fire thing works, how the, you know, state fire agency here, it's CAL FIRE, and what the differences are. And that's kind of the same in a lot of states. Most states have two different fire services. So most of us think, well, why don't we just make one? So he's going to explain to us why or why not that idea would work.
Well, there's plenty of fire to go around.
And there is plenty of fire go around, unfortunately. So let's see. We got that out of the way. You can reach us online at 5... I'm looking at a phone number.
530.
Yeah, 530-605-4567 is the call-in number. I might as well finish that thought while I'm on it. And you can reach us always at wethepeopleradio.us. Our phone numbers, emails, all that good stuff is there. And if you have ideas for programs, we love them. And, you know, just ideas, topics, or people. We're good either way. How are we doing, Bob? Have we straightened out our phone tangle?
Yes, both. Guests are ready to go.
Nice. So now Bill tells me he can't hear. Oh. Is that better?
No, that's okay. Better.
So
I can't hear myself think.
And the poor people on the phone are like, is it too late for me to pretend the line dropped? Yeah. So we have Terry Rourke on with us, and I have a little bio of hers. I think I'd like her to tell us a bunch of it, but she's a native Californian and a surviving parent of a child who was injured by a DPT vaccine as an infant in 1973. So for all those of you who think that the vaccine issue became an issue last year, Terry's been working on this for a very, very long time. And she's a longtime volunteer with both the National Vaccine Information Center and parentalrights.org. She's been educating parents about the dangers of vaccines for several decades, strong advocate for informed consent, vaccine choice, and parental rights to make medical decisions for their children. And so, Terry, are you in there, and can you hear us okay and all that?
Good morning, Erin. Yes, I can hear you fine. How about me?
Perfect. Since the first time I called you, I think we were on the phone for like an hour or something.
We had a lot to talk about. We probably could have talked all day.
Yes, obviously there's a tremendous amount in this particular topic. And so for people who either are new to this topic or want more information and how to get connected or where to find information, go to the website. I've posted all the things Terry has sent me, and that is wethepeopleradio.us. And then on the other line, hoping that they can hear each other, we have Catherine Duran, who was on with us about Common Core here, I don't know, a month ago or so, July 5th, actually. I posted that show on here. And she was working on Common Core, and I'm not sure really where the vaccine switchover came, but she's also become an activist in the vaccine issue, and I think largely because of the California State Bill number 277 that passed, what's it been, ladies, 2 weeks, 3 weeks recently? Anyone? Hello? Hey, are you guys in there?
Uh-oh.
This is Terry. I'm still here. I can't hear Catherine, though.
Yeah, I can't either. Huh. So Catherine's in the cone of silence, so we'll have to try to get her out of there. All right, Terry, so can you catch us up a little bit? Like, back in the 70s, did anybody care about this?
People did care, but it was, we had a smaller population. Children received very few vaccines in the 70s. The schedule only had three doses of polio and three doses of DPT between the ages of 2 and 6 months. And then they had one more vaccine, one dose of MMR. And that was the entire childhood schedule in the 70s.
Oh, maybe so that's why I don't remember getting that many.
The childhood schedule has escalated. And children are presently receiving 49 doses of 16 vaccines by the time they reach school age. And the problem here is that the pharmaceutical lobbyists have just pushed through a bill in the state of California, SB 277, that requires every child to receive every vaccine or they will be denied their constitutional rights to a public or private education. And many families cannot homeschool, so that means that many children will become truant. But the problem here is that the state has decided, through our politicians, they know more than parents about the well-being of their children. And at this point, it's an all-out war for parental and religious freedom, as well as honoring the Nuremberg Code and the international human rights laws of informed consent prior to medical intervention. And we just lost that in the state of California. We have 18 million children in danger of because their parents no longer have the right to protect them. And that, to me, is a very big slip down the slippery slope. And my concern is if this bill does not get repealed through the referendum effort, that not only will children be at risk, but the next target is the adult market. This is all about money. It's not about public health. It never has been. Most people don't know that.
Well, I think it's positively frightening that the state can mandate sticking a needle in your kid's arm and injecting them with something. I don't even think they know what's in it.
No, they don't. And even when you receive informed consent, they give you what's called the vaccine information sheet, which is a cartoonish single sheet of paper that basically promotes all of the false benefits of vaccination. Parents are not given the full vaccine package prescribing information from the manufacturer. Now, if you go to the pharmacy and you pick up a prescription, the pharmacist is required by law to review the full prescribing information, and you have to actually sign that you have reviewed this information and that you understand the risks. This does not happen with vaccination, quote-unquote, informed consent. And this is wrong. It's completely wrong. The FDA doesn't even require vaccine manufacturers to list their proprietary ingredients, which is code language for secret, or
sure,
the ingredients that are considered generally regarded as safe. They're called GRAS ingredients. Ingredients like peanut protein from peanut oil that's used in one of the adjuvants in many vaccines is not listed.
Yeah, except peanut oil makes me die, so that's great.
But it's not safe when it's injected and peanut protein enters the blood without going through the normal digestive process.
What kind of vaccines have the peanut protein in them?
You know, I would have to look on my computer, and right now I'm in downtown Walnut Creek because I have a group of folks out here that are volunteering to get signatures on the referendum, and I'm not at my computer, so I don't have that information.
I was just curious if is it grown.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There are several of them that have that adjuvant in there, along with heavy metal, formaldehyde, known neurotoxins. There's one ingredient, one adjuvant called, the nickname is Poly-80, which is never been tested for infertility and sterility properties. As a matter of fact, none of the vaccines are tested for carcinogenic, mutagenic, or infertility properties. So we really don't know because the studies have not been done.
And are these for adults as well as children?
Yes.
So, like, when you're talking about your flu vaccine and all that, same lack of testing, peanuts. I know the flu vaccine on the CDC website says that a bunch of them contain formaldehyde.
Oh, yeah, formaldehyde's in a lot of vaccines. So, you know, why anybody would want to inject formaldehyde into their body is beyond me. The problem is people go along with it because they don't know. Most people have a tendency to simply do whatever the doctor recommends. It's hard for them to comprehend that their doctor is not really very well educated on vaccines. It's not something that's discussed in med school. It's a very short module, and the curriculum consists of how to administer them and how and when to administer them, not really anything about safety studies or clinical trials or any of the nuts and bolts.
Lovely.
I was reading on the CDC website the ingredients of the vaccines, and I find it hard to believe that mercury, which is used as a, they said like a disinfectant, to stop mm-hmm. contamination when they actually stick the needle in the vial. Is that really the best thing they can use to stop contamination? I mean, if you put a little bit of mercury in your body from anything else, I mean, if you have a product that has mercury in it, they shut you down, lock you up. But boy, the CDC can put it in a vaccine? That seems kind of strange to me.
Well, and I agree with you. The problem with vaccines is that the manufacturers have immunity from all liability. In 1986, the Childhood Vaccine Safety Act was passed. Shortly thereafter, the CDC schedule for children just about doubled because the manufacturers enjoy no liability. Really, the only immunity in the entire vaccine program are the manufacturers cannot be sued for the damages that they and deaths that their products cause. So putting mercury in it, putting aluminum in it, you know, these heavy metals are known neurotoxins. They don't belong in our vaccines. They don't belong being injected into an entire generation of children. We have the sickest generation of children since the beginning of mankind. And in the U.S., we have a horrid infant mortality rate. We're one of the worst infant mortality rates in all of the industrialized countries throughout the world. We also, just so happens, we have more vaccines on our schedule than any other country. So if vaccines are so great and people are healthy because of all of the vaccines they get, why do we have so many kids sick and dying?
Now, prior to the Vaccine Act you were mentioning, prior to that, were there heavy metals in the vaccines then?
Yes, there were.
Okay. So they passed mm-hmm. this act to just relieve themselves of any responsibility.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Well, when people bring that up, I mean, when people ask about that, what do they tell them? It's just a small amount? Or, I mean, how do they explain that?
When it comes to the mercury, it's extremely deceptive because when the laws in California and other states in, throughout the country were required to remove mercury from vaccines, they only were required to remove them from the ones that are mandated. They were never required to remove them from all the vaccines that are recommended.
Mm.
The CDC has a recommended schedule for the entire country, and then each state has a list of vaccines that are required or mandated for public school entrance.
How long is that list?
The California list is, I think, 10 diseases right now. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry that I was called out of the office, but I don't have my computer in front of me to flip through all my data. Right now, I believe it's 10 different diseases that are required in California. But in SB 277, there's line number 11. And line number 11 allows the state of California to add any vaccines that they want pretty much at will if they're already on the CDC recommended schedule or if one of the other governmental authorities approves a particular vaccine, it can be added.
Lovely.
Now, let me back up about the mercury because I wanted to clarify the trace amount.
Let us take a quick break here, and we're getting kind of behind on the break thing. We're going to have them all at one time because we do want to go through the mercury because it's listed in the thing as thimerosal a lot of times, and people don't know. So we're going to come back, and we'd like you to talk about the mercury. You are listening to We the People Radio. We are speaking with Terry Rourke at the moment about vaccines. And at this point, we're talking about the California law, but it's coming to a state near you. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stopped. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
So
love that song.
Yeah. So what about flu vaccines? Is there mercury in flu vaccine?
Oh. Ruh-roh.
Ask again.
Okay, now we're there.
We're back. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Question. Is there, in the flu vaccine, is there mercury in the flu vaccine? Or trimerosal or whatever they want to call it?
Yes, there is definitely mercury in the flu vaccine.
And there are a whole bunch of different flu vaccines. So is that just one of them, or is it in all of them?
I would have to reference back to all of the different package inserts. But the flu vaccine is a total guessing game. They really never know for sure what they're doing. It's a best guess scenario. And this year they decided to make sure they had an ample supply. So in order to increase productivity and reduce costs to produce, the current vaccine, one of the current flu vaccine, is being cultured in insect cells. And the problem when you cross species in the production of vaccines, they'll do a song and dance and say, well, it's just in the manufacturing process, it's not in the final product. It's just in the media growth of the particular concoction of flu that they're creating in the lab. And the reality is that you, during the final stages of manufacturing, you can never really get out all of the DNA molecules that were used during the production. So people are being injected with other species' DNA in their vaccines. And most people don't know that. If they did, they wouldn't be lining up at, you know, every Walmart across the country.
Well, and the other one that I'm going to post it right now, the CDC, you know, just in case people think we're just, you know, making this up from some scary website or something. If you search CDC vaccine ingredients, the top two things that pop up on just about any search will give you a PDF that shows vaccine by vaccine what's in them. And that's from, mm-hmm. from the CDC. So, okay, having said that, I was asked by someone to look at an ingredient called WI-38 and another one called MRC-5. And those both told me they were made out of fetal lung tissue from three-month-old white female babies.
That's correct.
What the heck?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I didn't get a lot farther than that. At that point,
at that point, you kind of freaked out.
I had to
you
add,
thought, no, that can't be true.
I had to add beer to my research. It's like, what? What's the extent of that? And what's it for?
Yeah,
what does it do?
What are those for? What's MI-38 and MRC-5?
No,
WI-38.
Those are aborted fetal tissue cell lines that are used as a growth media for a variety of vaccines. Why they do it, I really don't know. I could speculate, but I'm not going to speculate. That the facts are clear. They speak for themselves. Many vaccines contain DNA from aborted fetal tissue cell lines. That's the reality. And I don't understand. You know, people ask me, why do they do that? I wish I knew why. If I knew why, I could cope with it. But not, I can't justify that, no matter what the reasoning is or the scientific logic is. It's not okay to inject DNA from other species and other humans into our bodies, contaminating our blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
that's
a healthy,
fact that gives
thing to
a,
do.
After watching all the Planned Parenthood videos that are, I mean, actually all of them aren't out, but I think we've seen four so far that have come out where they are selling basically baby body parts. Well, here's one market. And I know this has been done since the 60s, so did we get really mad in the 60s and then just kind of go to sleep on it? We meaning the public?
Yeah. I think that we have been lulled into complacency. You know, there's an awful lot of distractions in the media. There's an awful lot of distractions in life. And the media is very good at promoting the propaganda, if you will, that they want the general public to believe. And so we don't get the truth in our mainstream media. We haven't for a long time. Highly qualified investigative journalists like Cheryl Atkinson is a good example. You know, they've left the mainstream media because they cannot do accurate stories. Investigative journalism, you get on a story and you go where it leads you. You don't know the outcome when you start your research. And, you know, mainstream media has a storyline that they have to have approved by their sponsors.
So
the bulk of the advertising in mainstream media is from the pharmaceutical industry.
Now, what about the European market? Do they use the same concoctions over there that we use here, or are they different, and how so?
Yeah, they have fewer vaccines that they approve. They have different formulations that we can't even get in the U.S. because it's not licensed in the U.S.
And do they contain the human DNA in those as well?
Some do, but they have other alternatives that don't. You can get what the Catholic Church calls morally acceptable vaccines in other countries. In our country, they're not licensed by the FDA because Merck doesn't manufacture them. And right now, Merck is really running the show in our vaccine program. Our agencies that were created to protect the general public are actually captive agencies by the very manufacturers who provide the product. They do their own testing. They do their own safety studies. They produce it. They get it blessed by the CDC and the FDA, and then the CDC mandates it into our population while they enjoy complete immunity to all liability. It's a scary scenario.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so, okay, let's cut back to the referendum really quick. You, in California, if you're in California and you're frustrated that they've passed this, and that it was over, I mean, there was really overwhelming opposition from the public. I mean, I only heard about it, but you were, I'm sure, were down there at the Capitol. There were just a ton of people. Uh-oh. That's not a good sign. That's a bad sound right there.
Okay, who's still there?
Hello, anyone? Anyone?
Oh, no. Just
Bueller?
Just knucklehead one and
Bueller?
Knucklehead two. Did we disconnect everyone?
Apparently no one's there.
The vaccine gods are after us.
Lovely. Okay, so while we call those guys
NSA.
Back, hey, look, it's time for a break. Saved by the break. Usually it's the break is hard, but this is
well,
good.
I'm kind of amazed that the European vaccines are different than the American vaccines, and yet you don't hear of massive epidemics over there, and you know, more kids getting sick over there than get sick over here. So obviously there is a alternative.
Well, and for all the people who think that it's because our kids aren't vaccinated, I'm sorry, let's add one more piece into the equation, because if we're going to be good scientists, you have to look at all the factors. So one big factor we had when everybody freaked out about the Disneyland thing, we had massive numbers of children coming illegally over the border.
Right. I was going to bring that up. I mean, none of those kids are vaccinated.
Right.
And they probably never will be, because we don't want to discriminate.
Well, they come from countries that don't have good hygiene. And so once hygiene improved, running water,
yeah.
soap.
They
you
don't know,
know
why they get sick over there. And you know, in some of those
we don't get
third,
a lot
world,
of that stuff.
Third world countries that you know,
doing,
don't
Bob?
Have good drinking water and so forth.
All right. We're going to go
right.
get some decaf. And
I'm going to go re-up my medical degree
Bill's
while we're off.
Yeah,
and,
Bill's all mad. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. And you'll have to hum a happy tune for yourself, because that's not working.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's been that kind of day.
Oh, wait, I hear it. There's music.
That's me. That's me on my guitar.
You're awesome, Bill.
I know it. Thank you.
Well, I'm a big girl. I can take care of myself. So don't tell me what to do. You've already said that we are through. I may pay that you have.
Go, Terry. Got your theme song all picked out for you.
I like that one.
It's a perfect one. Oh, so we're on with Terry Rourke. We're talking about vaccines today, and I'm adding links as we speak. So if you refresh the page that you're getting through our website at wethepeopleradio.us, things will keep popping up. Hey, Terry, do you know about the congressman who has been communicating with the CDC whistleblower? Are you familiar with that whole thing?
Oh, yes, I sure am. That's Congressman Bill Posey out of Florida. And he's been an advocate of vaccine safety studies and transparency in our government for many, many years. And he's been in contact with a senior scientist, Dr. William Thompson of the CDC, who made a confession last year that he had been forced to falsify studies, and that if they had been allowed to publish their findings from one of their studies, the rest of the world would know that there is a strong correlation between MMR vaccine and autism in boys, especially African-American boys. But his supervisors and those that he reported to required him to falsify the documents. And his conscience finally got to him, and he couldn't stay silent anymore. And he came forward, made a confession, and provided hard copy documents, hard copies of all of his documents to Congressman Posey. And it's my understanding several other people throughout the world as well. So the information is out there, and he spoke on the congressional floor last week and brought forth additional information that had not yet been made public. And so it's kind of an uproar. And the people I know that, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of families who have seriously vaccine-injured children, and their voices are getting louder, sadly, because there's more and more of them.
Yeah.
And we can't keep ignoring this because we're hurting our children.
So what did the CDC whistleblower disclose? What was his smoking gun, if you will?
Well, the smoking gun was that the autism rate of African-American boys who were vaccinated with the MMR under the age of 3, the incident of autism was over 200% increase.
Wow.
Holy cow.
And they've always claimed that vaccines have nothing to do with autism. I'm not saying I believe that, but that's always the thing, is that there's no link, right?
Right.
And so this obviously might show there is a link.
There is a link. The moms know there's a link, because the moms know when they take their child in, a perfectly healthy child, in for a series of vaccines, and they come home and within hours the child is in excruciating pain and arching their back and going into seizures, and then shortly thereafter becomes nonverbal, and shortly thereafter that gets a diagnosis of autism, the moms know exactly what happened.
Because they weren't doing any of this before the vax. Is it at a point? Is there a, I don't know how I want to even ask this, but is it at a consistent point? Like, they can get the vaccines once and they're fine, but if in the second batch they get sick, or is there any rhyme or reason to it?
No, you can never predict which child is going to be injured by which vaccine. It's really Russian roulette when you're doing vaccines with your children. No one can predict who will have an adverse reaction, whether it's one dose, two doses. There's no definitive pattern. Some children die after receiving one vaccine. Some children seem to be doing okay, but then they get a large series and maybe they go to the doctors and get, you know, half a dozen vaccines in one day, and the child is never the same.
And is there any thought given to the fact that it's so much at one time, or is it the vaccine? If they gave each of these things, and I don't know how many there are in total, but if they gave them one at a time, like 6 months apart, would that help? Or is it just, if that's going to react with that kid, it doesn't matter if they give him...
Might not matter.
A dozen.
Yeah.
It might not matter, but it would seem to be more responsible, in my view, and it would, you know, at least be utilizing a precautionary principle so that if a child has an adverse reaction, they know which vaccine caused the problem for that particular child.
Oh, true.
The way it is right now, they're receiving so many at one time, they can't identify which vaccine is the culprit, or if in fact it was the combination that was the culprit. There are no synergistic studies, and there are no individual studies that are long-term. The clinical trials for vaccines does not use the gold standard of a double-blind placebo. Most of the vaccine clinical trials, the placebo is actually one of the adjuvants in the vaccine. So we're not comparing a vaccine to an inert and benign substance. We're comparing the vaccine to a highly toxic, a neurotoxin. They're using, a lot of times, they're using the aluminum adjuvant within the vaccines as the placebo in the clinical trial. Now, I don't think it gets much more absurd than that.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid. We don't, I mean, that wouldn't be considered, well, okay, all of us would have failed science in high school if we would have turned in experiments like that.
Exactly. I was never into biology and science as a kid in school. But, you know, common sense will tell you, if you're going to run a clinical trial, you better do it right when you're going to be injecting this product into every child in the entire country.
And once this is injected into your body, there is no anti-vaccine that'll reverse it and
do over.
Yeah, I mean, once it's in your
no
body,
do-over.
You've got it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Once it's in the body and it reaches the bloodstream, whatever damage it's going to do, it's going to do. And because of the route of application being an injection, they're all going to cause some damage because these chemicals and these proteins from other species and also other human DNA, along with all these neurotoxins being injected directly into the blood. This is not normal, folks. This is not prevention. This is not health care. This is injecting poisons into our children.
Mm. Yeah. And so you unfortunately learned about this. Were you involved in this before your son was vaccinated, or was it as a result of?
It was as a result of. In the 70s, I did what all my girlfriends were doing. We were loving, responsible young mothers, and we took our babies in for their baby shots. That's just what everybody did. I never questioned it. I didn't do any research. I just went along with the program, blindly doing what I was told to do. And once, you know, I didn't even make the connection early on when my son was first injured. I didn't make the connection to his chronic and severe health problems until years later it finally sunk in that he was not born that way. He was injured by vaccines. And at that point I started, you know, doing some research, but you know, back in the 70s, I didn't even have a computer. It's not like we had Google.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't have anything.
We had the public library.
I had a young child who was critically ill to care for. I didn't have time to go sit in the medical library. But nowadays, the moms in this generation and the fathers, they have access to information, and they're smart. And, you know, we hear people say, oh, those anti-vaxxers, and they're Googling, you know. And I have to kind of laugh because it's like, oh, okay, so John Hopkins Medical University is not reputable. The CDC is not reputable. The FDA is not reputable. Where do you think these people are getting their information?
Well, yeah, it's not hard.
You know, it's not the cartoon section from the newspaper. They're going to the source, and they're reading it, and they're saying, wait a minute, something's not right here.
Well, in today's information age, I think that holds true with a lot of things. I mean, we now have access to information that once was like for only the doctors and only the researchers. And I think they're having a hard time accepting the fact that people are out there doing their own research and finding out things that I don't think they really want us to know.
How dare they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right, we've got to take one more quick break. We'll be right back. We're speaking with Terry York on the topic of vaccines. You can find the information we've been chatting about and referencing on the website, wethepeopleradio.us. Part of the song where it says, think it over. That would be fitting in this particular instance. Think it over.
And that was a great song. I remember the Supreme.
Yeah, exactly. So think it over.
Stop. In the name of love, and that is really true about vaccines.
God, so what are we... So in... There's got to be... I shouldn't assume, but I'm assuming. There are more states than California that have mandated vaccines?
Well, every state in the country has certain vaccines that they mandate for children for school. But they also have religious and personal belief exemptions, with the exception of two, Mississippi and I think it's West Virginia. I'd have to look on my chart.
Well, now California, you can't use that in California now, can you?
Right, yeah. California has just lost its personal belief and religious exemption to vaccinations, and the state has usurped a parent's rights to make medical decisions for their children in violation of their personal beliefs and their religious beliefs. And this has really crossed the line. And everybody better wake up, because they're not going to stop with vaccines and they're not going to stop with children.
Yeah, because it's coming for grown-ups now.
Absolutely.
I wonder if I said I was a Satanist, if I could get out of it, they'd probably leave me alone then.
It doesn't matter
what faith you claim. You can claim any faith. You can claim that you're an atheist. It doesn't matter. Your beliefs are irrelevant in the state of California when it comes to vaccines. If you have kids in California, they will either be vaccinated according to what the state of California demands, or they will not be allowed in the public and private schools. And that's a violation of the state constitution, guaranteeing a free and appropriate education for every child.
Are they going to mandate that the illegal immigrant children that come into our state or come into our school systems, that they're vaccinated as well, or do they get a bye?
Well, if they enroll in school, they'll have to comply. That's okay with the state. They don't mind that, because those children typically are not going to have a private health care provider or be in the system. So they want to get these kids in the system, because then they can control them. One of the things that they can do is they can administer all the vaccines that the state requires through the county health clinic in conjunction with the county health clinic. They can even just hold shot clinics at the schools and get all these kids caught up. Because when the schools report their vaccine status, they receive federal funding from the Title IV funds. So the schools are very motivated to have high vaccine rates, because they generate income.
Terry, can we force you to be our captive over the top of the hour break just for a little bit? Because we've got like two more things we want to ask you.
Sure, I can hang in there with you.
All right, thank you very much. All right, so we'll have more. And if you're getting cut off on this hour, join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and the archive will be up.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back. You're on with We the People Radio. You're here with Aaron, Bill, and Bob. And we've got Terry Rourke.
You're not going to put your headphones on? Come on, put them on backwards for me. Ooh, whoops.
I'm all tangled up.
Those sounds of a struggle were...
Oh, there we go.
Our co-host.
Hey, this isn't an easy job.
Our indefatigable...
You think it's just sitting here in a chair acting stupid.
Don't make me say indefatigable twice. It's really that's a risky word to throw out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Terry, are you still there with us?
I sure am, Aaron.
Oh, it was so quiet. Things are working so well all of a sudden. I just took me by surprise. So let's see. Let me do your little bio again in case we're using this as a one-hour thing. So we have Terry Rourke on with us. She's a native Californian, sure, easy for me to say, and surviving parent of a child who was injured by a DPT vaccine as an infant in 1973. Longtime volunteer with both the National Vaccine Information Center and parentalrights.org. She's been educating with parents about the dangers of vaccines for several decades. So you got into this long before it was popular to be into this, and I'm assuming back then people were like, you know, you're a maniac. They just figured you.
Yeah, you know, I'm too old for that at this point. At one time I cared, now I don't.
You stopped caring. I used to care, now I don't.
I used to care what people thought of me, now I don't.
So you had a perfectly healthy baby. Time goes on. Take him in for shots. He was how old?
He was an infant. It was a 2-4 month visit.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know anything about that stuff, so I'm flying blind there. So you took him in, and then after that, something changed. And how did you? I mean, was it just super super obvious?
Well, the things that I noticed, and being a first time mom and inexperienced, I didn't make a connection to the vaccines. He was fussy all the time. He stopped latching. He was very irritable. He just wasn't himself. And I hadn't connected the vaccines. What really got it going for me was when I took him in for his 15th month. Back then in the 70s, they had one MMR vaccine during their 15th month. And the nurse asked me if my baby was allergic to eggs. And I said, you know, I don't know. There's something wrong, something very wrong. We haven't figured it out yet. I've been working with the doctor who was the GP to, you know, get my diet such that he wouldn't react. We had supplemented with different foods. By the age of 15 months, he was, you know, he had teeth. He was eating some solids. And the nurse said, if there's any chance that your baby's allergic to eggs, I'm not going to give him this vaccine. You have to go back to your doctor. So I went back to the doctor, asked him to give my baby boy the MMR vaccine because, again, I was a responsible mom doing what I thought was the right thing to do. And the doctor told me that if the nurse at the county health clinic wouldn't give him the vaccine, that he surely wouldn't. And at that point, we were referred to a pediatrician, and I knew that I had a very sick child. Because only the sick kids had a pediatrician.
Interesting.
And so that's when I first started, you know, saying, okay, there's something more going on with this. But because that was the last vaccine on the entire childhood schedule, and I was told at that point by the nurse and a doctor, and later with many doctors that had helped me to recover my son as best as possible over the years. They all informed me and confirmed it with a lot of lab work that he should never be vaccinated again. And since there was no more requirements and he was still allowed to go to school during the days that he was healthy enough to be in school, I didn't really investigate it a lot more at that time. And it wasn't until, I guess maybe closer to the mid-80s when I started getting, I had my own little computer and I could search around for things, and I was curious and I wanted to learn more, and I stumbled on to the National Vaccine Information Center website along the lines, and I started reading and I started learning, and I knew then that more people needed to know what was going on so that they would make informed decisions, they would do their own research, and they would work with their appointed, you know, their selected medical provider to do the right thing for each individual child. And the thing about what's just happened in California, it's completely draconian bill. It literally forces 18 million children in the state of California to become wards of the state when it comes to vaccines. And children will be required to have whatever vaccine the state says in order for them to have a public or private education.
Yeah. Is anybody suing over that?
There will be. Absolutely, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits. During the legislation process of this bill, we had numerous hearings in the Senate side as well as the Assembly side. And we had days of hearings where we had hundreds of people in the Capitol. Some of those hearings, we had thousands of people in the Capitol. And everyone that works on staff, from security to the janitorial staff to the legislative staffers, they have never seen this many citizens show up in opposition of a bill ever. They were very surprised. But when you get, a generation of mothers whose children have been injured by vaccines, and the state comes along and says, you do what we say or else, they are going to rise up. And what I'm seeing here is an entire army of mama and papa California bears, and they are not going to put up with this. We've got a referendum going to get it on the ballot so people can vote, so that politicians don't make medical decisions for our children. We have recall efforts for many legislators going on, and your next guest is much more intimately familiar with that, Dr. Richard Pan. We have the referendum going, and there are scads of legal firms and legal teams pulling together. There will be litigation on this from every angle you can imagine. Like I said, the people of California are not going to put up with it.
Are you, on this referendum, are you actually collecting signatures on that now?
Sure.
And how is that effort going? Are you getting, what kind of feedback and what kind of response are you getting from folks?
Well, it's mixed. It's a mixed bag, but I think what really matters is that in less than a month, referendum was filed by former Assemblyman Tim Donnelly, who I happen to know. The petitions were printed, and over 3,000 volunteers said, "Give me those petitions. I'm going to get signatures." I was talking at a local farmers market today, meeting with some people in my community, and we had a couple of people walk by and not want to hear anything about it. Their mind was made up. Some of them decided to call us nasty names. But all in all, for the most part, the people are very concerned about this, and they're eager to sign these petitions because they either recognize that something's not right and they haven't really stopped long enough to do their own research, and they would like the opportunity to do that. And by getting the signatures we need in the next 2 months to get it on the ballot, the California citizens have a whole year to educate themselves and become informed.
So
the temperature out here is looking good. One of the things I also noticed, which was very encouraging, is at the National Vaccine Information Center, we have an advocacy portal that's been online for about 15 years, and people can sign up to stay informed of what's going on in their individual state's legislative sessions about vaccines. And in the last 6 months, the members of California have tripled.
Wow.
And that's encouraging to me. I mean, you know, for somebody like me that's been dealing with this for a few decades, to see the number of advocates in California triple in such a short period of time is very encouraging.
Gosh, I hope that folks get educated on this and there's a total uprising, because, I mean, it's a step too far.
It is a step too far. And so, Terry, to go back to what we were talking about in the first part of the hour, when a child has autism, it isn't just the parent who has to deal with it. I mean, it isn't, obviously, it totally changes your family dynamic and all that, but when you get into the services required to keep a kid, you know, keep a child in school, if in fact they can do that, or in a special program or whatever, are there any statistics out there or any studies out there on what that actually, just the bare bones cost on something like that?
You know, that's a really good question, Aaron. I know that the statistics are available. I don't happen to have them, you know, at my fingertips, and it's not something I have stored in the memory banks.
It's expensive, though, isn't it?
It's very expensive. It's very expensive, you know. Behavioral therapy for one child for a reasonable amount of hours on an annual basis can be $30,000-$40,000. Students that require one-on-one aides to help them and assist them throughout the school day. That's a full-time staff person. So providing the educational services for special needs students is very costly.
So just, for the people who are thinking, well, you know, my kids are grown up, doesn't affect me at all, I guess I'm always trying to make things relevant to everybody, because nothing happens to one group of people that doesn't affect the rest of us. And so even for people who are, 50s, 60s, still taxpayers, this is a huge, potentially a massive cost increase.
Yes, and that's already happened. We've reached critical mass on this already. The number of children that are in need, that require special educational services, and those are for the kids that are functioning well enough to even participate in a public school environment. Many children are not that well off, and they can't participate in a group environment. They will require 24-hour care the rest of their lives, and that is not only, like you said, a tremendous burden on their loved ones and family, but it's draining the economy to have so many seriously disabled young people.
Sure.
And that affects all of us. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, because I know a family.
One report that in the Los Angeles Unified School District is the second largest school district in the country. And the last report that I read indicated that 20% of their students are special needs students.
Oh, that's huge.
It is.
And that it was never like that when we were kids.
No.
I mean, at all. And I know this one family, their boy is now, I'm going to say 20, 21, and he's living independently, but he has to have a full-time caregiver and all these different services, and it goes through a department of, what is it? Health and Human Services, but it's the state one, whatever that is called. And it's like $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
And that's one child. So I'm looking at all the, looking at all the illegal alien kids, probably most of whom have not had any kind of vaccinations. Now we're going to catch them up. Now let's run the numbers. Look at the percentage that we're going to damage. And I'm sorry, if they commit crimes, we can't send them back. So if we foul them up with a vaccine, I guarantee you we're not sending them back. And so at that point, that becomes the taxpayer's burden.
That's correct.
So I just don't see any, besides the fact that we would not want to damage children. I mean, obviously that's the main point. But, you know, if you can't get over that part and you're willing to play roulette, you're playing it. It's a very, very expensive roulette, and it's going to mess up everybody's life, you know.
That's very true, and the profiteers are not going to stop at children.
Yeah, that's the...
There's already a bill, SB 792, which will be heard in the Assembly Appropriations Committee after summer break. Sometime mid-August, that is mandating vaccines for daycare workers and preschool teachers.
Lovely.
And there's no exemptions on two of those vaccines.
Wow,
you
again.
Either get the vaccine or you cannot earn a livelihood. So when you start telling a society, you get this injected into your body, or you can't go to school, or you can't have a job. We're living in medical tyranny.
Yeah, we've gone somewhere extra bad. Hang on for one second,
we've
Terry.
We've crossed the line.
Hang on 1 second, yeah. And we've got to take a really quick break again here, and then. Yeah, I'd like you to talk about how people should take this on with their doctor, because most people, the doctors know more than they do, and they wind up intimidated and knuckling under. So when we come back, let's hit that a little bit.
Okay.
We're speaking with Terry Rourke. We're talking about vaccines. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, and Terry, you're going to like this song, by the way. I think it might be your song.
Oh, okay.
Give a damn's busted. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much.
I guess that's it's kind of a good lead in there.
So you have a good DJ there.
Yeah, that's Bob. That's why we require that he be our engineer, because otherwise we would have to think of those songs, and well, that's not where we shine. So we all have to work in our sphere of influence. So. How should people, you know, I mean, I guess adults have to deal with their doctor, right, when they go get flu shots, and the doctor looks at them and says, well, who's the doctor, me or you? And then they take their kids in, and it's like, well, hey, it's not a choice, sorry. Even if the doctor doesn't really like it, they're stuck with it. So how do people who didn't go to medical school fight this thing?
Well, I can't give medical advice, obviously. I'm not licensed to do that.
Well, neither. We're not probably licensed to hear it either, but, you know, we can just chat about it. Just like, what if, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, for the most part, I think, you know, people just need to be responsible for their own health. And if we take care of our health, we don't need medicine, which reduces our need for doctors. Doctors don't do health. They do medicine. You know, that's one shift in the old brain paradigm.
True. And one of the guys online said, you know, we don't eat enough raw food anymore, just man-made things. Good point.
Right. You know, I advise parents to find a holistic physician. naturopaths, alternative providers. They're licensed MDs. They're just integrative, and they don't necessarily go along with the whole rigmarole of, you know, 49 doses of 14 vaccines before the age of 5. You know, they seem to be more acclimated to provide individualized health advice rather than one size fits all, no matter what the condition, what the existing health is, what the family history is. You know, it's just wrong. We're all individuals, and we all react to everything differently. And to think that every child is the same violates the reality that we're all uniquely made, and we all have, you know, a very personal family history of our medical histories, and these things need to be taken into consideration. I tell people to find a doctor who treats you like a human being and respects you, and if they don't, then find a different doctor.
Yeah, that's good advice. Don't have to go to medical school for that. I guess if I have to argue with them over, I have crummy lungs, and so I went to a pulmonologist at one point. I was having a lot of trouble, and the pulmonary guy wanted me to take prednisone every day, and I was like 38, 37, something. And I knew because my mom had taken it years ago, and I said, there just is no way that that's the solution to my problem at this point in time is to take prednisone for the rest of my life. Forget it. And he was furious. He asked me who was the doctor, you know, who's the doctor in this room? And I said, well, who's got asthma in this room, you know? And he got all mad, walked out. I never saw him again. He broke up with me.
Yeah, he may be the doctor, but you're the person with the body, and it belongs to you.
Yeah, he didn't have asthma. What does he know? You know, it's like I'm going to live on chemicals the rest of my life in order to just maintain. I don't know. Yeah. Not helpful. But with this stuff, it's such a murky place, and people don't really know how to defend themselves, I guess. You know, when they say, well, what do you want your kid to get? You know, whatever disease the thing is going to prevent.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I got a little tidbit for you, Aaron.
See, I knew I'd coax it out of you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Here we go. I'll pull a little fact out of my brain.
There you go.
There's,
you'll feel better.
When they report statistics about deaths and so forth from all these different horrible diseases that when we were kids was just basically a mild childhood illness that we all got, we all survived, and you know, so we get a few days at home, out of school, and we get to eat ice cream in bed. It wasn't the end of the world.
No,
and
it was actually kind of good.
We're all fine. These statistics that they use are from the WHO, and those are international statistics, and those numbers are coming from third world countries where children are dying of everything because they have no clean water, no decent food, and they live in unsanitary conditions. Their immune systems are so weak that the death rate is high from any illness. So, you know, it's scare tactics is all it is. It's like, you know, we get 134 or 140, whatever the number was, cases of measles in Disneyland, and the media goes crazy like Chicken Little. Oh, my gosh, we've got measles. We're all going to die. And I had to laugh, and I thought, oh, my gosh, people are going to believe this.
Yeah, because we've all had measles, all of us.
Well, look at the big Ebola scare. Look at what we went through with Ebola. We were all, I mean, it was going to,
that's right,
it was going to cross the country. We were all going to get it. We were going to have to lock ourselves in our house and wear masks because we were all doomed. And in the end, what, we have 5 people that ended up getting Ebola, and we still have thousands of people every year that die from the flu, and you don't hear anything about that. So, I mean, people really do need to calm down and get educated a little bit.
Exactly. The media creates a lot of hype and fear, and people tend to make very bad decisions if they are fear-based. So, you know, my best advice is to keep breathing, you know, relax, do your own research, don't buy into the hype, don't get yourself all worked up. You know, these illness, these childhood illnesses that we're vaccinating kids for, you know, we have more kids being injured and dying from the vaccines than we do the childhood illnesses that they're being vaccinated supposedly to prevent. And, you know, for the people that are worried that somebody might be in their child's classroom that isn't vaccinated, you know, the counterpoint is always straight up. If your kid is vaccinated and if vaccines work,
yeah,
who cares how many kids are not vaccinated in your child's classroom? Is every, are all the adults vaccinated when you go someplace public? What about when you take your kid to church or the ballpark or any place public where there's adults? Are you going to freak out because those adults don't have 49 doses of 16 vaccines? What about your child's teacher? What about your child's coach? What about the lady that works in the cafeteria at the school? These people aren't vaccinated with 49 doses of 14 vaccines. So what's the problem if one kid is missing one of the booster shots because, or one kid didn't get the chickenpox shot because, guess what? He already had the chickenpox. He's already got a natural immunity. He
right.
doesn't need a vaccine. So, you know, it's just a lot of hype and fear, and it's all very sophisticated the way that they roll this stuff out, and it's to drive behaviors and drive profits.
Well, you know, and another argument you'll hear from the medical establishment is, you know, we live longer now than we ever have, so that supports the whole, you know, the medical industry. We're just making strides. But you know what? We've learned a lot more about nutrition and lifestyle.
Well, just washing our hands
exactly.
has made a huge difference.
Back in the day when we only lived to be 35 or 40 years old, we didn't know any of that stuff. I mean, shoot, they didn't even operate with a mask on back in those days. And so I think you have to really take that into consideration when you look at lifespan, not just the medical advances.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh, yeah, sanitation, food quality, water quality.
Exactly.
You know, and people are living longer, but what is the quality of life? You know, there's a difference between length of number of years and quality of life. And having, you know, people living longer who are on more and more medications requiring more and more medical procedures and surgeries, again, you know, that is profit-driven.
Yeah, and that seems to be a whole different angle on it, you know, is all the money in the pharmaceutical industry, and then also for the adult vaccines as well as for the kids. And then all the stuff with the CDC. Bob needs us to take a really quick break. We need to thank our advertisers. When we come back, can you talk a little bit about that, Terry?
Oh, you mean the CDC whistleblower?
Yeah, the CDC stuff. Just, you know, what's
okay.
why would they why would they intentionally lie to us? And I'm being kind of facetious, but I kind of know. But all right, we can chat about it. And
okay.
If you want to join us online, we are there at wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be right back.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be?
Do what you like.
Perfect. I'll tell you what, it just seems to be, you know, we're never short of material here. You know, people ask me, well, what's this show about? It's like, oh, I don't know, you know, all sorts of things. And you think after, what, five years or something we've been doing this, we'd run out of topics. But no, the government just keeps coming up with more bad ideas. So, Catherine, what about all that stuff with the CDC? It's always nice when we have a whistleblower. Uh-oh.
Okay, are you talking to me, Terry, or?
No, yes, you. Yes, you,
okay,
Terry.
Okay, is Catherine with us?
Oh, sorry, did I just call you Catherine?
That's okay, but I thought she was coming on today.
Bad me. We couldn't get both of you on the phone at the same time, so I was texting with her while I was talking to you. Now you know what I'm doing.
Oh, no wonder.
I've got somebody else in the chat room who was going to be in the studio, but that didn't work out. See, a lot of things just don't always work out at the last minute. Today was one of those days.
That's the way it goes.
I know. Talk to us about CDC.
Well, I don't know what you want to know. It's other than the fact that it is a totally corrupt agency that has been captured by the pharmaceutical companies. They do not protect Americans from disease. They actually, you know, are deaf, dumb, and blind, or want us to think that. The corruption there is so disgusting. I can't even really talk about it. One of the former head of the CDC, Julie was her first name. I always botch the pronunciation of her last name. I want to call her Gerber Dingling, but I know that's not correct.
it's funny how we make those little names for our special people in our lives.
Gerber Dingling is my name for her. And although she's very smart if she's wanting to sleep on a mattress full of blood money. But she left CDC, took over the International Vaccine Division for Merck, and she was at the CDC during the time that Merck got several of their products recommended and mandated, and it happened to be vaccines that no other manufacturers make. So she, you know, delivered to them a captive audience with required, mandatory vaccines on Merck products, and they, you know, rewarded her handsomely when she left CDC. So what we see there is the revolving door corruption like we see in, you know, with the Monsanto people and the FDA and so forth. But, yeah, you know, people really just have to take responsibility for themselves and stop believing that Big Brother is taking care of us and our interests are,
Sure.
Our best interests are what they're concerned with, because it's not true.
Well, the CDC, I know that there's at least one scientist, local, as a matter of fact, that the CDC won't communicate with because his son is part of the vaccine-injured children. I don't know if it's a lawsuit or I don't know enough about that, but there's a group that's formed by people who have children who were injured by vaccines. Can you shed more light on that?
Are you talking about the vaccine injury court?
I don't know. It's been a couple of years ago now, and I just know that there's a group of people that all had kids who were injured by vaccines, and I'm not sure if they're just seeking to pressure the CDC into giving up information, or if it's a lawsuit or what. Do you know about that?
Well, there's quite a bit of different things going on in regards to the lawsuit. There are very large organizations of children, of parents with vaccine-injured children. It's not a small group, not by a long shot.
Right. I knew it was pretty big.
Yeah. And there are multiple groups that are advocating and fighting to bring transparency to the CDC and our vaccine schedule in particular.
What about some of these autism groups that are out there? Like there's one called Autism Speaks, I think.
Autism Speaks is a national group. They're actually, interestingly enough, if you read their mission statement and you read the mission statement of CDC in reference to autism, it looks like the same public relations agency wrote it. Autism Speaks is very much all about in favor of vaccines.
Oh, how confusing.
And they have one of their major donors is the pharmaceutical industry. So they're kind of a front group. I refer to them as the warm, fuzzy glove on the, or the warm velvet glove on the CDC iron fist. Their big thing, oh, get this one, you're going to love this one, Aaron. Their big thing is promoting the development of a vaccine to prevent autism. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. You talk about
the
perfect business model. Okay, you have a product that the correlation is solid and the proof is there that your product is causing severe damage to many children. But let's just lie about it. Let's just discredit all the valid doctors and scientists that have brought forth real science. And we'll just say it doesn't really, that's not true. There's no correlation. And then we'll develop another vaccine and we'll use it and we'll sell that to people who want to prevent the very thing that our first products are creating. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
Yeah, that's like having a light switch that turns the lights on and turns them off at the same time.
Right.
It's stupid and crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
So but, some of the autism, the big autism groups that really should be helping, I guess, to expose this, they're not doing that.
Well, there's an organization called Focus Autism. They've done a lot of work. Autism One does a lot of work. There's many, many organizations that are working to educate people, because really the bottom line is educating people, because the more people know the truth, the more people will not be deceived. And, you know, it's a process. We're up against, you know, major media with unlimited pharma dollars to promote whatever it is they want people to believe.
God, that's unbelievable.
But you know, more and more doctors are coming forward and telling the truth about what they're witnessing in their own offices. You know, people of conscience, people of heart that are compassionate and are in the profession honestly and truly to help people, they can't take it anymore. They've witnessed too much carnage, too much injury, too much death, and they're speaking out, and a lot of them are leaving the traditional environment. That's happening to a lot of nursing students that are, you know, they're in nursing school, they're being forced to get vaccines, they're saying, no, I'm not doing that, and they leave nursing school. Nursing professionals are leaving the profession. You know, like I said, good people that are honorable people of good conscience, they can't keep doing this. And they're leaving the profession and they're speaking up. And scientists, too, are coming forward. There's cases of fraud against Merck brought on by two of their own staff members who were high-level scientists doing studies on some of the vaccines. They've come forward and told the truth that they were required to falsify their data so that they could get the approval from FDA.
And we have a question in the chat as to whether or not you have anything to say about the connection of the doctors that are basically being murdered. I think there's 10 of them. Am I right?
You know, I haven't really stayed on top of that. I can't say that I can't say one way or another what's going on there. I don't know. I didn't know any of them personally.
But they had their roots in, you know, they were either researching or, I mean, it's kind of, I think the suspicion is that somebody's after them because they seem to all be connected to the vaccine stuff in some way, shape, or form.
Well, some of them I understood were forerunners in developing cancer cures. So I don't know that they were all in all related to vaccines or not. To be honest with you, I've been so busy with the stuff going on in California that I haven't read a lot of those articles.
I did read one. I read one about a guy, and he was finding, he was having really good success with cancer cure, but it also cured autism. And so there was kind of the crossover there. I don't know a lot about that either. That's why I just wondered. Someone was asking in the chat if you had any knowledge of that. So I guess that's something else we've got to read up on.
No, I'm sorry. I don't have any personal knowledge of that. I find it very sad. Whether coincidence or not, I'm not going to speculate.
Yeah.
It does seem unusual that so many people are gone now who were on the forefront of bringing true healing to people.
Yep.
And, you know, right now the greatest health emergency in our country is vaccine injury. That's the health crisis right there.
God.
It's not measles, it's not Ebola, it's not flu, it's not whatever else they can drum up to frighten people. The epidemic that is ravishing our children is vaccine injury.
At the exact same time, we're mandating them, which is terrific.
Yeah, exactly. Now that the state has stepped in and supported it all and making it mandatory.
All right, Terry, we've only got 10 more minutes, but hang with us. We've got to fit in one more commercial break so Bill can sip more loud coffee on the air.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Bless the peace and the children, for in this world they have no voice. They have no choice.
Come on, winner, come on, you don't fight fair. That's okay, see if I care. Knock me down, it's all in vain. I get right back on my feet again. Hit me with your best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot?
Yeah.
Hit me with your best shot.
I forgot about that one. And there is no best shot. So there we go. She was wrong. Classic.
Yeah. Was that, who was the artist on that one? I'm drawing a blank.
That was Pat Benatar.
Oh, Pat Benatar.
That's right, Pat Benatar.
I was going to say Joan Jett. It was one of those.
Yeah. Alrighty then.
There, you can put that in your little stash in case you ever do a musical, you know, version of Don't Get Your Vaccines.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, right. We're going to put in a call to Catherine here. She's been listening and texting and saying, go, Terry, go.
bless her heart. She's a great gal.
God love her. Well, because she's working on the recall pan. Are you working on that too?
No, he's not in my district, but I can tell you, if I lived in his district, I'd be parked out in front of his house collecting signatures to can him.
He is a California senator, and he was the one who carried the vaccine bill.
Right.
Yeah, so they're trying to get a recall of him. So I thought maybe we would have her jump in and tell people how they could become part of that. It's nice he has an easy name, P-A-N, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of like Peter Pan, you know, another good thing gone bad.
Well, Catherine's your gal on the pan recall. She's been right in the middle of it, and she knows exactly what's going on there. I need to jump off so she can come on, right? Is that the way that this thing works?
Well, it's supposed to work when you're both on, but what happens is mostly you can't hear each other or you can't hear us or both.
Well, you're both on now, so try it.
Oh. Catherine, can you hear us?
I can.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds like you're...
Oh, my gosh. I can hear you.
I can hear you, Catherine. This is Terry. Can you hear me?
Jeez. Yeah, we couldn't have gotten this 2 hours ago. It didn't work then, but it'll work now when we have 4 minutes left.
I kept getting disconnected, so...
So talk to us about the recall of Senator Pan that's being mounted.
So we have volunteers pounding at our door to get involved in collecting signatures for the Pan recall, and it's just turned out to be fantastic. So many people are waking up to what's going on and are outraged. I went out to my car this morning, and I didn't want to be seen by anybody. And one of my neighbors came by with her little dogs, and she says, "Hey, did you see the paper? There's a Pan recall going on." And it was in our local paper, and I said, "Yeah, that was me."
You're like, "No, really?"
Yeah, Leo, that was me. And she asked if she could get involved. So she's going to get my whole block on my neighborhood here on the Pan recall as well. So people are just jumping on board because they're starting to understand that this is not, we're not necessarily anti-vaxxers, but we are not okay with the government telling us what we can and can't do with our bodies. So they're outraged enough that they want to see this end, and they're jumping on board, and I couldn't be more delighted. More people than I could ever have expected are getting on board with this. I was starting to think, I think all the people that we are getting, you know, their signatures are the ones that are volunteers. We're not going to have anybody that, you know, by the time we get out there, we'll have all of our volunteers having signed all of our petitions, and that would be fantastic. But we are going door to door. We're out at local businesses, so look around for us. We're only in District 6. That's the District 6 part of Sacramento and West Sacramento. So look for us.
The website for that is recallpan.com.
We have recallpan.com, and we're on Facebook, too, Sacramento Recall Senator Pan. And
I'll add that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can catch us on Facebook, you can catch us on our website, you can donate, you can get involved. And, you know, we'd love to have you volunteer.
Perfect.
Well, say again, what is the borders of District 6?
Well, it's Elk Grove, most of Sacramento, up to, I'd love to actually send that. As a matter of fact, you know what I'll do, Bill, is I'll send it to you. You can put it on the website, on your website.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and it's Arden area, all the way downtown, all the way across the river to West Sacramento.
Nice.
But I'll put the map up there so you can get it. Because there are a couple of maps online, and they're not really accurate, so...
Okay, and then tell me this, Terry, bill, you know, the referendum that you guys are doing, that's California statewide, correct?
That is statewide. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. The referendum is throughout the state. Any registered voter in the state of California can sign a petition to get it on the ballot for in November of 2016.
Nice.
And that's what we're out doing today. And Catherine, I wanted to let you know, I was talking with some of our mutual friends earlier this morning, and there is a large contingency from the Central Valley region coming up to Senate District 6 to join you in getting Pan petition signed next weekend. So you're going to have some reinforcement coming your way.
I like Pan. That's fine. That's an easy one.
You know, that's a really amazing
thing. Okay, girls, we got to jump off. We are running out of rope here, and the news is going to take us over. So hit us on wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll post all the things from both of these gals. And ladies, if you have other things you want on there, shoot them to us. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Aaron.
Just say no to shots.
Thanks for coming on.
See you guys next
week.
Thank you.